All right, this is from the Jones family, Brother Robert and Miss Lisa. Dear Harvest Baptist Church and Pastor Cook, words cannot express how grateful we are for the kindness, support, and encouragement during this missions conference. Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak the biblical importance of faith promise and support to missions. Thank you for the enjoyable music selection stirring our hearts for God's word. Thank you so much for the gracious hospitality with the hotel accommodations, the fruit basket, personalized goodies, drinks, gift cards, and beautiful cards. Yes, we packed a lot of stuff in those baskets. Thank you for the delicious meals and the genuine fellowship was very much appreciated. Thank you for your prayers, and we continue to travel and serve the Lord with gladness. We are excited how the Lord will use Harvest Baptist Church in his honor and glory with missions around the world. For God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, Brother Robert and Miss Lisa Jones. All right, Brother Chair, if you'll cue up that video for him to be ready in just a moment. Tonight we have a few announcements, and we have about 7-minute video of a military ministry, and then Brother Sam will come and read a letter from the Frostos in South Africa. I want to remind you, to those that were out of town or haven't had a chance, do not forget to turn in your missions commitment card. Make it a matter of prayer. And those of you who are not able to be here and hear the preaching and hear the presentation if you have any questions, feel free to see me, but get one of these cards and we can talk about it. I want to encourage you to participate, not only because souls need to be saved around the world, also because I want God's blessings in your life by participating and getting involved in missions. And so please get the program, get some more in by Sunday or the latter portions that may not be in yet. All right, before we have the video, just a couple announcements real quick. We will have a business meeting a little bit later tonight. Our Memorial Day service, our kids will be involved and be reciting prayers. That's on the 24th. And, of course, tomorrow morning we have our ladies' Bible study on 10 o'clock over in the Fellowship Hall or Building B. And, of course, just around the corner, the latter part of May, the 22nd, which is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, will be our Bible Prophecy Conference with Brother Edgar Fagali. And, of course, the Women of Prayer will meet at the end of the month. And the sign-up sheets are already in the back for the May 31st Sinkspiration. And so you can sign up for that, how you can be involved in ministering to your church family. And we'll have a time of fellowship following the service as we usually do during that service. All right, Brother Cherry. Your Bibles tonight, we'll look at the book of Acts tonight. And as I mentioned, I really don't have any notes. I need to put something together on this, but we'll start, I believe, in Acts chapter 10 or 13. We'll maybe look at both. Through the years, missions has changed so much. And we're going to start in, Acts chapter 11. We'll go back to 10, Acts chapter 11. Missions has changed a lot. You read a lot of books, and you see how they used to hug and kiss family and went with a little bit of money, got on a ship, and they may not see their family again for years or never again. And they went to wherever they want to go by ship, by vessel. Others that were more church planters here in America, that was a little bit different, but foreign missions. And through the years, things have changed. Michelle and I were involved in for 30 years in missions. She was involved in missions a little longer, being a missionary kid with her family. And a lot of the traditions have changed. Technology has changed. And during our time in missions, families would travel to other like-minded churches, raising financial support to get to the field they were going to minister. And they would typically minister on the field for 4 years, come back for a year, and then go back again. So kind of back and forth, 4 years, 1 year, 4 years, 1 year. And then through the years, some people began to change that a little bit, would only come back 6 months, because it was so hard to leave a ministry and try to report to all your churches. And then if you worked with a military ministry like Michelle and I, we didn't furlough for 10, 11 years because we just didn't see how we can leave a ministry overseas with no one to fill in and always continual rotation. We weren't able to train someone up to take a ministry and go start another military work. That's not the way military ministry works. But other church planning missionaries, which is the main highlight in the book of Acts, is missions is mainly revolved around church planting. And so we're going to look at a couple places tonight and look at some things. You may not see things the way I do. That's okay. If you see it a little bit differently than I do, I think it's not worth arguing over, or it's not worth in any shape or form saying that it can't be seen that way. And you'll know what I'm talking about in just a moment. Now, today, things are different. We have technology. When I was on the field, I sent a letter every 2 months, and I tried to send a video or two during the year. And then now some missionaries send every 3 months, some do less, and some we've had to get after. And then I think we send support once a month. We should get a letter at least every 2 to 3 months. And now with technology and smartphones, it's very easy to take a video. So missionaries can't get back to report, can't get back to the States. Taking a video and seeing their ministry, maybe a few testimonies of some of their members and new disciples that they can send back as an encouraging. We have some of our missionaries that do a wonderful job at that, some better than others, and I'm working with them, encouraging them to do a little more because, as the Bible says, my eye affecteth my heart, and it's good to see those ministries that we're praying for and that we're investing in. So we'll also be talking about in the coming days and weeks of setting up a philosophy of missions here at Harvest to give us a rule blanket to go by in what we do so we can handle most things that come up as needed. But in the book of Acts, in chapter number, in chapter number 11, I'm not going to read. I'm kind of going to skim through some things. You can make notes. But I want to give you an idea here. In Acts chapter 11, we begin to see some missions, and we see our first missionary church in Acts 11. And we see in verse number 26, "And when they had found him, they brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves in the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christian first at Antioch." And here often we see the first missionary church there in Antioch that was sent out from people from the Church of Jerusalem. And we see some ties associated here. Later we'll see with Barnabas. If you remember, Barnabas was sent out of Jerusalem to Antioch, and we're going to see later he was sent out from Antioch to go on another missionary journey with Paul. We see the cycle of church planting, establishing, and sending people out. And then, let's see, then we see later in chapter 12 that Herod persecuted the church greatly, which caused some scattering. And then we see Peter was imprisoned and delivered, and then we move through chapter number 12. I'm in chapter 12 now. Peter is in prison in the early part. Herod persecutes the church. And then the latter part of chapter 12, we see the death of Herod Agrippa, which is, I hate to say it, which was good news for getting missions and getting missionaries around the world. And then in chapter 13, roughly around AD 48 or 48 AD, which is about 6 years from Acts chapter 11 and verse number 22. If you go back to Acts 11, 22, It talks about, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." So we're looking roughly, most commentators will say 6 or 7 years later, we see the church here of Antioch in verse number chapter 13 and verse 1. "Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius in Cyrene and Manian, which had brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away." So here what we often, Bible scholars say, is the first missionary journey. Again, a church started from the Church of Jerusalem, first missionary church possibly, and then them sending out Paul and Barnabas to go on their first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13. And as we move through Acts 13, and we're going to study a little more in depth the book of Acts later this year, I'm thinking about the next project we'll have of studying through the book of Acts, we see Paul's first missionary journey beginning here. And as we go through a couple chapters in our Bibles, we get a little bit later into the book of Acts, and we see what we might call today a common day furlough, referring to when missionaries serve on the field and they come back to the States and they report to their churches of what's going on, what has taken place before returning. And in Acts chapter 14 and verse 13, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." So here we see more establishment and working, teaching the gospel, teaching many. And then we drop down to verse number 27. Again, this is just a survey. We'll study more in depth later. You see, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how they had opened the door of the faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples." Often folks will call that similar to a furlough, where the missionary comes and reports to the churches, spending time with them, telling them all that has taken place. Now, I'm sharing a lot of these things is because we need to have a plan. We need to have a strategy and an idea of how we're going to handle our missions ministry, how we're going to handle our missions money, how we're going to continue to work in helping churches to be established, not only here in America, but also abroad, as the Bible teaches. And as we move through Acts chapter, next chapter in chapter 15, we see some more things being involved in mission trips. And then we see in verse number 36 of Acts chapter number 15, "And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we see where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Here you get an idea of a possibly of a start of an organization, organized missions, a mission agency, a coordination where we're going to see how they're doing. So Paul is going to go back through his first missionary journey, cycle through and go again to those churches that were established to see how they're doing and how they can help as they continue journeys of missions. So you say, well, preacher, that's kind of far-fetched what we do today. It is, but if you kind of look in scriptures, we see the organization to see how there's follow-up, to see how they're ministering and establishing churches, and then going back and following up to see how they're doing, how they're prospering, how we can help them. Now, we are only one church, but we can be just as involved as Paul talks about here in the writers in the book of Luke, how they established churches, how they sent out, how they followed up to see how they were doing to encourage them, and how they came back, missionaries came back, and they reported on how they were doing. And that's similar to what took place in our missions conference with the Ness family. They reported of all that had taken place and what they were doing. We saw missions from the book of Acts in Navajo Nation, as Brother Nez was having two churches, the one there in Newcomb and the one there in Window Rock. The church is established. Brother Harrison came in, worked with him a year. He took over the ministry there, and he's moving on with the ministry. Now, this type of ministry, I'm just going to be honest with you, is more likely than not, because of the location, is going to be a constant church plant, because that's the nature of the beast with the Navajo Nation and Indian Reservation. But it's going to be a constant church plant. They'll probably never be completely indigenous, but they will eventually have some help from their church, but they will not necessarily go to start another, but they might. Brother Harrison gave no indication other than this is where God wants me, but Brother Nez desires to see other churches planted, whether he stays there and trains and sends out, or tries to start another church like he did there in Newcomb and to find someone else. That's yet to be seen. But we see the New Testament principle and those taking place. And I think this is how we need to look at our missions program and how we will do things in regards to missions, how we take on missionaries. There's no way we can bring in every missionary that comes through. There's no way we'll be able to pick them up all, more likely than not. But we can give them a love offering while they're there. We can love on them, hear the good news, and maybe be on a list that as we grow and as we give, we may be able to come back, circle back later and pick up a missionary that was here previously when we get to the position where we can do that. I know that we've committed $60,000, but I'm not of the mind of let's spend all that money and take up on a whole bunch of missionaries. I'm more of the mind of reserving maybe 10-20% of that in reserve to use, whether it be for special projects or for the next missions conference next year, and then use maybe up to 50-some thousand to go out and support, or 48 to 50,000 to support the missionaries that we support now. But I would like to see us increase the support of some of the missionaries we support now, and not all of them, but some of them. My opinion, we'll decide as a church, is that those who are involved in helps ministry, like Brother Nez and Brother Harrison, that will never move. And those involved in helps ministry, those that are involved in directly in church planting, may remain at the $125 a month, because they're stateside, they can still get love offerings from churches. They can still get aid. Those that are overseas and on the field, they can't come back. It's a great expense to come back to raise more support. So maybe supporting at a higher amount of like $200 a month, $125 for those that we've already supported. In other words, bump them up. And those are in helps ministry, those that are stateside that's still eligible or can travel and raise and get love offerings, but those on the mission field cannot. Now, they may get a love offering on occasion by writing a letter, but they can't go to church. They can't do some of the things that we're able to do from the Ness family and the Harrison family, some of our missionaries on the field. Our other church planters that are going to start a church, and they come here and they say, we want to establish a church, but I want to pastor that church. I think we shouldn't blindly commit $200 a month until this forever, but I think we should say, okay, we want to be involved in this church plant, but we want some regular letters and maybe a reevaluation after 2 years or 3 years to see how they're doing. Are they in a position now their church is 50-50 with their support, or they cut back on their support, and we can redirect monies to another project? In other words, just keeping the communication. We also have missionaries that are retired. Now, please don't take me as being harsh. I think it's a case by case, but I know when we were involved in missions, we were encouraged to have a Roth. We were encouraged to put money into Social Security. We were encouraged to do all those things so that when we did retire, that we would not continue to take missions monies that's designed to help churches be started. And that's what we did the years that we were in missions. And we've got two missionaries now that are somewhat retired. And one of them works as an engineer, one of them still makes trips a couple times a year, but he's working a full-time job, drawing Social Security. We have another one that's come off the field that we're still supporting, but I'm going to recommend we reevaluate that. That is back in the States, drawing Social Security, some of his pension retirement, still involved in missions, but not on the field any longer. So those are some things that we need to consider, evaluate, make a policy on what we do, that our monies will still continue to go in establishing and seeing churches planted around the world. So with that being said, I know I was a little quick and a little fast going through this, but I wanted to set up a general consensus or an idea of missions and how it's seen in the Bible, our responsibilities in helping them, the responsibility of the missionary of teaching, establishing churches, and reporting. But the technology that we have today, I don't think it's as necessary to come back and report as often if they can do it through video. I know when Michelle and I was traveling, we had a couple churches that required us to come to report once every 4 years, or we lost our support, period, blanket statement. We knew that when we scheduled the meeting. We knew that when they picked up for support. I never complained about it. Didn't agree, but didn't complain about it. I don't want to be that way. I believe we have missionaries that are in areas like China and Japan and other parts of the area. It probably costs our brother in Japan $10,000 to come back to the States and to go back again on a furlough. It's outrageously expensive, but he writes OSHA, he writes often, he sends videos, and I think those are some areas where we look at, you know, when you're back in the States, if you can squeeze us in, that would be wonderful, but if you continue to communicate through your letters and your videos, I think that should suffice in many areas until he has that opportunity to come back. I think we send out a check every month. I think it's reasonable for us to expect to get a letter from the missionary at least every 3 months. I would prefer every 2 months personally. I'll take every 3 months, and then maybe at least a video or two every year of the ministry and then what's taking place in their ministry. Now, I say that because when I first came to Harvest, there was missionaries that the church had been supporting, and because of the lack of accountability, some of them were not...